And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Donick and Chase, but no Chase. But Darren Donick and Chase, but no Chase today. D-Mace will be back in the saddle with us tomorrow. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Elijah Campbell, not right now. Also, not right now. Michelle, because that, Michelle, I've got a brain.
You got it, Darren.
Michelle Knezovic.
Knezovic, there you go.
Knezovic.
Perfect.
I'll give you a B.
I got to get some points for saving it. Like, I went in strong and then went, whoa, pull back. Back it up.
You backed it up. You got it right.
Coming in too hot. Come back it up. Slow down, big fella. Slow down.
She's been here long enough, Darren. I think you got to know. She's up for Rookie of the Year. Let's go. Get the pronunciation right. It's like saying Mariota, which I heard a couple announcers still do this year. That's been in the league a long time. Come on.
Knezovic.
There you go.
That was perfect. Textbook, Darren. Textbook.
Now we got it. That's your one for the day.
Now we're off and running. She is at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. How long are you with us, Michelle, today? Half the show?
I'm with you guys until 11 o'clock.
11
and then
o'clock.
We're going to do a little switcheroo, and Elijah's going to come in here.
Okay.
Take the reins.
All right. Well, buckle up. I don't think it's going to get too bumpy this first hour, but, you know, you never know on this show. You never know. Of course, you're used to bumpy on the morning show, right?
Yeah. I'm still new, though, guys. I still call myself new. I'm at that 6-month point, and I'm at the point where I can still use the excuse of being new. Haven't got there quite yet.
We got a lot of things to get into here today. Terry McCormick will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk about this Titans team as they get a little bit closer to their matchup Saturday to kick off the divisional rounds at Nissan Stadium. It'll be the Titans and the Bengals. And along those lines, Willie, it sounds like we've got a little news across the Cumberland on the Predators game on Saturday night. This is going to be a little bit later start.
Tell.
Yeah, well, I guess we're having a little bit later start.
Has that been announced officially? I was hearing that was in the works. Is that confirmed?
Michelle, I heard it on your morning show.
Yes, Robbie confirmed it, that it's going to be a 7:30 start. So if you're going to double dip Titans and then Preds, it's good news for you.
Okay, good. I had heard that was being worked on. I didn't know if that was made official yet, but that is smart thinking. And Darren, thinking back through the years, the Predators played a home game the night of the Music City Miracle. Of course, the Music City Miracle was more of a noon start. Or maybe even 11 a.m.
No, it was an early start. I think it was
it 11? Yeah, I was thinking that was an early start. The Predators played that night, and there was a very lively crowd for that one. The Predators played a home game the night of the Joe Nedney do-over kick, where he had the great acting job, missed an easy game-winning field goal, but then got to do it a second time because they called running into the kicker, and they beat the Steelers. That was the 0-2 season. And they also played a home game the night of the 08 unfortunate loss to Derek Mason and the Ravens. So that's three games that I remember vividly where the Titans had home games in the afternoon and the Predators played that night. So it can be done. I saw a lot of people do it. And let me say, it has been a raucous atmosphere, win or lose, at the Predators game after a Titans playoff game. Well-oiled fans.
Well-oiled is one way of putting it. Yes. Very saucy. A lot of sauce.
Yes.
In fact, they should have noodles at the Preds game because a lot of people will need some sauce. Actually, they won't need any more sauce. They'll probably be good on the sauce. They'll be packing their own sauce. I actually did all three of those games, the double dip.
Yeah.
I remember them well.
I did. I had to leave at halftime of two of them. I went to the first half. Of course, with the radio duties, I had to get over the arena. So I can remember actually being on the air or about to go on the air, and it was close. I can't remember exactly if the game ended, but it was one of those things where people coming into the arena that weren't at the football games were gathered around back when we used to be out on the concourse near the glass window, you know, overlooking, I guess that would be Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we had a big screen TV, but man, I can remember certain sporting events where that was the gathering spot. Just, I would say several hundred people gathered around watching the end of those games. And it wasn't a happy ending in 08, but the other two worked out well. Of course, the other, you know, the Music City Miracle was long since over. It was people spilling out who had been hanging out downtown after the Music City Miracle and still in a total euphoric state and then stumbling over. I think the Predators played the Blackhawks that night and won. That would have been the only the second year of existence for the Predators back in January of 2000.
After the Music City Miracle game?
Yeah.
It was the Blackhawks?
I'm pretty sure it was the Blackhawks.
I couldn't.
And I remember they played the replay of the lateral, mm-hmm. the miracle yep. play, the home run throwback. And man, that place went nuts.
Erupted.
It was awesome. Yeah.
I definitely remember that. I just don't remember the opponent. I was sitting there. I actually was thinking it was Detroit in my head, but I was guessing. I couldn't.
That
I couldn't
one was Chicago. The other two games, I don't remember who the opponent was after. I'll have to go back and look it up. We'll have to figure out the dates and match it up.
Well, if
I don't remember if the Predators won or not in the other two games. I do know they won that first time.
If you've done it before, what we just laid out, I know you're going to want to do it again. Do both. If you haven't done it before, I hope we've piqued your interest because it is so worth it. It's like it's such a great sports day.
Oh,
I
man.
I mean, it doesn't is get it any ever? Better for a sports fan than to do the double dip.
And you've got the Red Wings coming to town. That's always fun. So much history between the Predators and the Red Wings. So that will be a good double dip. And it's so easy to do. You just walk right across the pedestrian bridge and you're there.
Well, especially right today, yeah. I mean, today it's – I mean, the setup is so conducive to make it work easy. And now you get a little bit extra time. I mean, I know the game being on, you know, national television, it's going to be a little bit long, but the NFL's pretty good about – you know, they're not like college football. It's like when we were sitting there for the Music City Bowl this year, I was like – knowing when Predators pregame was, I was like, there's no chance you will hear the end of this game on 102.5 the game. No chance. I mean, I was saying it when we started the show because that's how college football works. And sure enough, what, Tennessee-Purdue went 4.5 hours? I think it was early third quarter when we broke away for Preds pregame. I mean, it wasn't even close to being over, maybe midway through the third quarter. But, the NFL's a little bit better about that. So
yes, barring a double overtime, triple overtime, I it should be in the books well before. So you'd have time to get over from the stadium to the arena for sure.
I would think at the absolute latest, it's over at 7 o'clock. At the absolute latest.
Agreed.
Pushing it to the brink, 7 o'clock, which still could have you there in time. But that's like the extreme. I don't see that. I think you're going to be just fine.
I remember in 2011, and we talked about this game with Paul Feinbaum and with Eli Gold, there was the great 1-versus-2 regular season matchup, Alabama against LSU. 2011, first year of 102.5 the game. The game has been on the air for maybe 2 months, and that's one of the things we have. We have Predators hockey, and we have Alabama football. And remember the final score was like 9-6. It was a great rock'em sock'em, two unbelievably talented defenses. They had the rematch in the national title game, and Alabama shut out LSU. But we had to bag out of that game. It was because the Predators played, I think, a night game in San Jose or something. So I had the fun assignment of telling everybody, hey, to all of you listening to the LSU-Alabama game, we have to stop our coverage for our pregame show, The Predators and the Sharks. And we got a few phone calls in the studio because it was like 6-6 with, you know, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You know, tie game. Whoops. Not everything worked out.
So let me give you this trivia question. I just saw this on Twitter, NFL on CBS. Do you know there was only one team this year that had three players on their team with 8 or more sacks this season? You know who that team is?
3 with 8 or more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
just one team did it.
Let me guess the Titans.
It is.
Yeah.
Titans, only team in the league that had three players with eight or more sacks.
Massive part of this game on Saturday.
Well, yeah, because Cincinnati gives up the most sacks.
Yep, 51 sacks. And I think Cincinnati would like to be able to tell you, we talked to Rocky Boyman about it yesterday, that they've got it a little bit more managed than they did last year and maybe at the beginning of this year. But this is going to be, I think, where the game might be won and lost, is can the Titans get the pass rush and disrupt the rhythm of that passing offense? Because if they don't, it could be a tough time containing that group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to have to get to Burrow. There's no doubt about it. There's no secret to that. And it may not even be with the exact sack totals, but how many times do they hurry him? How many hits do they get on Joe Burrow, right?
Tip balls.
Have to be around him. They have to make him uncomfortable. They have to make him uncomfortable. They just do. And it's set up to do that. You just heard it. I mean, the Titans are the only team. That's pretty amazing that they're the only team with three players that had eight or more sacks. I don't think I would have thought that. I mean, you just naturally would think some of the better defense. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess now that I say it out loud, I mean, T.J. Watt, who else would be the other two? I don't know what Hayward. I know he's a D tackle, so I know they don't tip it. But so is Jeffrey Simmons, and Jeffrey Simmons is on this list. You know, the Rams have Donald. They didn't have Von Miller long enough. So, yeah. Titans, only team. Only team. That's pretty cool. But we will talk with Terry McCormick on the other side. The Titans will talk later today. Hopefully we'll have a player in the third hour. That's our hope. Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him coming up at high noon. But we'll come back with Terry, talk about this matchup with him. He's been covering the team since they arrived in Nashville. And we'll kind of compare from previous years to this year and why can this be different? Why will it be different? Or does he think it'll be different? We'll do all that and more on the other side as you listen to the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I guess the jungle's going to be in Nashville because they're not playing the game in Cincinnati. They're playing it here at Nissan Stadium. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Our show is presented by Crayon CBD products. Curated for life. Terry McCormick has been covering the team since they arrived in Nashville. He's with TitanInsider.com. He now joins us. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. What's new and exciting?
Oh, the Titans have a playoff game on Saturday. Maybe you've heard that.
Are they, son of a gun, are they at home this week? Are they playing another game?
As a matter of fact, they are.
You know, we were actually talking about that earlier. What do you think, you know, and I've said this season, and I want to get your take because I know I've sat there next to you for a long, long time through a lot of, you know, thick and through a lot of thin, right? When it was fun and when it wasn't fun. We've observed a lot of games sitting next to each other in the press box over the years. It felt like, and I did something of first, I went and sat in the stands for that Thursday night game against the 49ers, something I'd never done before. And I thought the atmosphere was way, way better than I expected. It was packed house. And quite honestly, it had been a long time since I had seen Nissan Stadium look like that and just the feel and the vibe in the place. Do you feel, how close do you think this thing is to getting back to the good old days? Where would you put that meter at today's Titans team this season?
I'd say right around 80 to 90%, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I think the newness of it then is part of what made it so special, you know, because we were brand new to having professional football here in Nashville, and then for the team to take off and go on a Super Bowl run, you know, the very first year in what was then Adelphia Coliseum after a couple of years in purgatory there at Memphis and at Vanderbilt. I think that's very difficult to duplicate. The only thing that I guess would top it would be winning a Super Bowl. And, you know, this team has a legitimate shot to do that. I mean, they're the number one seed out of the AFC, and, you know, they're starting to get healthy at the right time. It looks like they're going to get Derrick Henry back. And, you know, things are setting up for them to make a deep run into the postseason. And that's something, you know, that we saw a couple of years ago when they reached the AFC Championship game, and then last year they fell off a little bit, eliminated in the divisional round. So they've got another crack at it.
They've got two cracks at it, Terry, to really, really put this, push this thing over the top, because they've never done it at home, right? They've got two cracks to try to recreate what this market experienced when the Predators made their run to the Stanley Cup final, right? And it was talked about, you know, for years, right? It'll always be talked about. The Titans have the opportunity to recreate that. They're going to have two chances to do this magical journey to L.A. at home. And it'll start Saturday night if they win downtown. Like, we have to be there because we have to work that night after the game. But if you don't, and you don't want to be a part of absolute chaos, you better stay away, because it's going to be off the chain, right, if they win. I mean, this will be the start. And then if you can duplicate it and do it one more time, I think this market has got the chance to really experience something special on the football side of things, because, as you know, they had to do that magical journey a long, long time ago on the road after the Music City Miracle.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, this is, in one sense, uncharted waters, because the first two times that they hosted the AFC Championship or had the number one seed and put themselves in position to possibly host the AFC Championship game, both times the Baltimore Ravens derailed it in 2000 and again in 2008. Good news for the Titans, the Ravens are sitting at home this year, so they're going to have to turn their attention to the Bengals. You know, Cincinnati's got a good team, but I think, you know, this is a game that the Titans should win. And if they do, I think you're going to see the type of frenzy that we haven't seen around here in a long time, because you're right, this would be Nashville's first opportunity to host an AFC Championship game. Also, if they win, it'll be their first home playoff victory since the 2002 season when they won that overtime game against the Steelers. Remember, it was Steve McNair and Tommy Maddox throwing the ball all over the place for both teams. And at the end, Joe Nedney with the acting job to get another chance after he'd missed that field goal.
Did Tommy Maddox go down in that game?
No, that was in the regular season.
That was in the regular season. Okay. I remember a game where Tommy Maddox went down here. Yeah, wow. So it's been 20 years since they've won a playoff game, a home playoff game.
Basically, yes, 19, because it happened. That was the 2002 season, so
right,
in January
right.
of 2003 that took place.
Yeah. How big? I think people recognized this was going to be a good move, but now that we've seen it play out, how big was Danico Autry, that addition in the offseason?
Oh, I think it's probably the most underrated move of the offseason by the Titans. You know, there was a lot of, you know, flash when they brought in Bud Dupree. There was a lot of flash when they traded for Julio Jones. But Danico Autry has been solid. He's shown up every week. He's played hard. He's given them a nice compliment to Jeffrey Simmons on the interior. The guy has 9 sacks for an interior defensive lineman. Now, he's been moved out to the edge on occasion. But still, the guy's got 9 sacks. That's pretty good work right there.
And that is the key. That's something we were talking about, which, by the way, I saw the stat on Twitter from CBS, NFL on CBS to be exact, where the Titans were the only team in the league this year to have 3 players with 8 or more sacks. Cincinnati, that is not their strength in protecting Joe Burrow. They have given up the most sacks in the league. How critical is it for the Titans' defense to be able – and I said to Willie – it's not a matter of really the stat or the sack total. It's how many times are they hurrying him? How many times are they around him? How many times are they making him really uncomfortable? To me, that's the real key.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, it's not just, you know, it's not just the sack totals, like you said. Can you disrupt his timing? Can you keep him from getting the ball downfield to Jamar Chase the way he wants to? Can you affect him with hits? Can you affect him with, you know, moving him out of his spot in the pocket and making him readjust? All those things are key, because when you disrupt the timing of the passing game, that's when, you know, bad things can start to happen. A pass sails and it's picked off, or it's just out of the reach of the receiver where it would have been a nice gain. Those things are key, you know, beyond just getting the sacks.
When do you think they're going to make it official about 22?
Probably Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, when they absolutely have to make that decision. I would think they're going to keep people in suspense as long as possible. But, you know, if Henry was he was cleared for contact yesterday, and, you know, after practice today, you know, we'll know, you know, how well he did, you know, whether he made it through it and all that. Although today is coordinator day, is a, you know, and things like that. So it's a situation where, you know, I think he's going to play. I think everybody feels like he's going to play. It's just a matter of when do you want to, you know, drop it and make it official. And I think that happens on Friday.
The great discussion piece this week that none of us are going to know, and I suspect the Titans don't even know, because, right, how would you? I mean, honestly, you can't truly predict. You can get clearance. You can practice all week with contact, without contact. But until he gets in there, because Derek Mason was been on the show with us the last 2 days, and D-Mace was saying, look, there's no way, we know this, you can't recreate what's going to happen on Saturday afternoon, right, in practice, no matter what you do. You can't, so you really don't know how the foot is going to hold up. But as we sit here today on this Wednesday morning, and I'm going to have an over-under carries in our pick six on Friday, what do you think is a realistic number of carries for Derrick Henry?
I would say maybe around 15. I think that would probably be a realistic number. I mean, is that kind of in the ballpark of what you thought?
Yeah, 15 and a half. But I also think that if you're clear and you've passed every test there is to pass, I don't know why they would hold him back. I don't know why. I mean, unless he's just not effective, right? Unless he's getting clogged up and he's, you know, he's had 9 carries for 7 yards. I mean, okay. But if everything is fine, I just don't know why. I'm not saying 30. I'm not even saying 25. But, I mean, why would it be crazy to for him to see 20 carries? And maybe that is crazy, but I'm saying, me thinking about it, I don't think it is crazy to think you'll have 20.
No, you may be right. I mean, it's a situation where you won't know until you put him out there and test him. And you know, what you said about practice is absolutely right. You know, they had a padded practice yesterday, which I guess gets you as close to what you can expect as you can get in a practice session, but it's not like the games. You know, and that's the one thing – maybe he wasn't ready for that Houston game, but that was the one thing where I thought that if he was close to being ready, or if he was ready, that they would have activated him then, just to see, let's knock the rust off, let's get you back going and see what it looks like, so that we're not completely surprised one way or the other when it comes time to play for real.
Yeah, I think your 15 number is probably right. I mean, I think that's the right number. 15 and a half to get people, you know, to think about it. But I don't know. I just kind of, I feel like it's going to be more, but I realize if I go up to 19 or 20, and like, everybody's going to take the under, and I don't blame everybody. Heck, I would probably take the under. But if you do it at 15 and a half, I think you're right on. I think that makes you think more.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think, you know, and I'll know you brought me on for you to ask me questions, but I'll ask you one. What do you think is a reasonable expectation for Derrick Henry yards-wise? Would you be satisfied if he gave you 75 yards? Do you think he needs to give you 100?
I mean, I guess satisfied. To be satisfied, I need to everybody needs to see, including the Titans, what it looks like. I just suspect, because he's a freak and he's elite, he's not just a running back, he's a different dude, that I suspect that he's going to be the Derrick Henry that, you know, Keen Henry. I don't know why it would be different. I mean, I guess you could say there's going to be a little bit of a knocking off the rust period, maybe at the beginning, but, I mean, satisfied, I mean, to me, Would we ever say we're satisfied with 75 yards from Derrick Henry?
True,
I would say more times than not, no, because he's not just any running back. He's not a Jag. He's elite. He's different. He's the best
in the
league.
You know, and it's one of those situations, Darren, where I think, you know, the you know, the more he rushes, the more he's going to get comfortable with that foot, the more he's going to say, hey, I can do this, I can handle this. So, you know, more may be better in this case, you know, so maybe he will get 20-plus carries in this game, and maybe he will be the Derrick Henry of old and rush for 120 or 30 yards in those carries.
Talking to Terry McCormick, so Terry, let's talk about part of the equation there. It's not just how Derrick Henry looks. Regardless who the running backs have been, the offensive line looks pretty healthy. They've been run blocking well, even when Henry's been out. It looks like the Bengals have some significant issues, more than one, in their run defense. What's the latest on that?
Well, they put one guy. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. It started.
Yeah, the defensive tackle.
He had I think 7 sacks this year, so he was one of their better interior defensive linemen at rushing the passer. They put him on injured reserve with a foot injury. They've also got a couple of other guys who are banged up. So, you know, this is shaping up to be a situation where it might be advantage Titans in terms of who's healthy and who's not, because the Titans are finally starting to get healthy as the season ends, starting to get guys back and getting them in a groove. You know, it was, I guess, what, 2 weeks in a row they've had the starting 5 offensive linemen all out there and participating there at the end of the season?
Isn't that something? When you go back to the very, very first game, you had a lot of issues with Taylor Lewan coming off of the knee. You know, he certainly wasn't himself. He got booed, remember? Bud Dupree clearly wasn't himself the very first week with his knee, even though he played. So I think you could argue that this is the healthiest that they've been all year, and it's not even close. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I would agree with that. I mean, this is a team that has gone through the knocks, and they've gone through the, you know, guys missing games, and, you know, I mean, goodness gracious, you know, the Julio Jones saga is enough to fill up a page of copy just with all his trials and tribulations. Same thing with Bud Dupree, you know, not being able to be in there all the time. I think what you get with this team now is not only are you getting your frontline starters back, but out of necessity, because you went through 91 players, you built up some pretty good depth, you know, finding guys like Deontay Foreman or Buster Screen and, you know, to help out in the secondary. So there's been ample examples of guys who have gotten an opportunity and made the most of it, and now they're an integral part of what the Titans are doing. I mean, just look at a guy like Nick Westbrook-Akina, who went from being a special teams guy mainly to being the number 2 receiver for most of the season.
Last question for you, and I don't want to offend any Bengals fans. I heard you say you think the Titans should win. Deep down, I feel pretty good about the matchup myself, but the line is only 3. Are you surprised at that?
I'm not. I mean, the Titans are the type of team that, you know, they're not a sexy pick. If they win on Sunday, I almost guarantee you they'll be a home dog against either Kansas City or Buffalo. I just kind of feel like that's kind of their lot in life. It's kind of their lot in life is to, you know, to not be the sexy pick. You know, I mean, you think about it. It's 3.5. Home field advantage is usually said to be worth about 3. So they're a half point better than the Bengals, who they, you know, and this is the number 1 seed against the number 4 seed. You know, that's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. And I do think that is a theme that I'm seeing around the league, is that there's not a lot of people that have really watched the Titans go through all of the trials without so many key pieces, so many different weeks of the season. They've got it a little bit on the surface, but I think if they're underselling how good the team can be when they have everybody, but that's why you play. Terry, thanks a lot. We appreciate the insight. Looking forward to another piece of Titans history, good or bad, on Saturday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. When we come back, we will continue to break this matchup down. So many different angles. I'm going to throw that at Darren. I feel like nationally, I see a lot of reports, a lot of articles. I don't think people were really watching the Titans very closely during the season. That's my thought. We'll see what people think. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on the DDC, 102.5 The Game.
It's playoff time in Nashville. We know that. If you're looking for a place to hang, a place to tailgate, how about Hard Rock Cafe on Saturday? 102.5 The Game will be there. There's going to be all kinds of excitement on Broadway. Hard Rock's playoff tailgating party will be from noon until 3 o'clock, getting you ready to kick off up at 3:30 at Nissan Stadium. The grills will be fired up. There'll be a full bar with drink specials, live entertainment from DJ Seago, games, giveaways, and so much more. If you don't have tickets to the game, come inside, stay warm, and cheer on the Titans in their game against the Bengals. Hard Rock Cafe will feature the game on over 30 televisions with mega sound. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're looking for a place, noon to 3, Hard Rock Cafe, downtown on Broadway. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Creation CBD, products curated for life. So, by the way, I think when you said 3, I looked. Let me see. I think it's gone up to 3.5.
3.5 every place I've looked.
I was going to say, I think it's gone up to 3.5. 3.5 there. 3.5 on BetMGM. Chase is BetMGM. Let's see. DraftKings has it at 3.5. So I think it's gone up to 3.5. Which is significant that hook is pretty important. That's a big deal.
Okay, to those of you that bet, I think the general point is the same, that this is the number one seed against the lowest seed left. I just don't think in general that the Titans are viewed as anything close to a powerhouse. In fact, I saw some people saying the real championship game is between Buffalo and Kansas City this weekend. That's the real AFC championship game. They have written off the Titans. I just think that the people have not watched the Titans soldier through so many games without critical pieces that they have back now. They have them ready to go. This is the team that they wanted to have for this moment. I really feel like the Titans are coming together at the right time here. But I don't think that's the perception nationally at all. Even though they beat the Bills, they beat the Chiefs, they beat the Rams, they beat all these teams. They beat a lot of them without all these key players. But they're a 3-point favorite against the Bengals? Okay.
Well, it's interesting. It's like you were listening to the show yesterday when you weren't and you were in meetings, because this is exactly what we talked about for a good chunk of the first half of the show before you joined us yesterday. And I said those exact things. I brought up, why is it that no one is really giving the Titans their just due? Why is everybody talking about the real conference championship game is this weekend in Kansas City? Why is it no one, they're the number one seed. Why is no one, you know, on here talking? The 49ers are a sexy team.
They don't watch
the Rams. No, that's well, that,
they don't,
that
they don't
could
watch
be
the
it.
Titans.
But here, but I'm going to just tell you.
They don't watch those. They watch the highlights.
Well, no,
they see Derrick Henry running. They see that they've, you know, they saw the big game on the Sunday night when they beat the Rams where they had some freaky plays to their credit. You know, they got the pick six and things like that. But they are a better team than their numbers show. If you look at where they rank, you know, offensively, Ryan Tannehill's numbers don't look all that sexy. I get it. But I think the national media is being fooled because they have not seen, they do not realize how the Titans have had to go through some tough times without a ton of key pieces, all of which they have back now.
I brought up that they played Kansas City and Kansas City scored 3 points and they smoked the Chiefs. I brought up that they played Buffalo and they beat Buffalo. I brought up that they went to L.A. without Derrick Henry and they beat the Rams, which has become a sexy team here in the last month or so. I brought up that they played the 49ers here on Thursday Night Football and beat them. By the way, they were an underdog in that game. Were they not? Or a 2-point favorite? It was really low. Really, really low. 49ers have become the sexy team. They beat them. And so we started talking through all this, and I said, so what is it? Like, why is it that no one is talking about this team? And I know about all the numbers. The numbers don't prop them up to show them as a true number one seed. But they've played all these teams. Who else has the same resume? And as we talked through this and as we brought up, Derek nailed it. He flat out nailed it, at least I think he did. I think he's dead on right, because I also started bringing up I went down this road and I stumbled upon, I wasn't trying to go there, but we stumbled upon the real reason. So I said, you know what else occurred to me is, look at all the division winners this year. Okay, who won the AFC East? Buffalo. Who's the best quarterback in the AFC East? Josh Allen. Who won the AFC North? Cincinnati. Who's the best quarterback in the AFC North? Now, Derek pushed back a little bit with Lamar Jackson. I expected him to, and that's fine. He's been an NFL MVP, but as I told him, that's all fair. But this year, who was the better quarterback? The answer is Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was the better quarterback. Lamar Jackson wasn't available for a lot of the season. The AFC South, yes. Who was the best quarterback? Ryan Tannehill. He was the best quarterback in the division. The AFC West, who won? Kansas City. Who's the best quarterback? NFC East, who won? Dallas. Who's the best quarterback in that division? NFC North, Green Bay, we know. NFC South, Tampa Bay, we know. NFC West was the one model where I disagreed, where the best quarterback in the division didn't win the division. And I think, if you're being honest, Russell Wilson's the best quarterback. And then after that, it's probably Matthew Stafford, right? Or is it Kyler Murray? I don't know. Kyler Murray, Stafford, you could go back and forth. So, like, the NFC West was the one that didn't really cooperate with this model, and it started the whole quarterback discussion. The best quarterbacks in the league are all in the playoffs. The best quarterbacks in the league won their division. That's why we constantly talk about the quarterbacks, because they're so important. But Ryan Tannehill is not viewed. Like, of all the teams left, there's eight teams left. Who do you think? And I've already seen them doing rankings. We talked about this yesterday. This morning, they were doing quarterback rankings left in the playoffs this morning on Get Up, and they did exactly the exercise we did yesterday on the show. I think everybody, would you agree? Who's eighth? Who's last?
Among the remaining quarterbacks?
Yep. Who's last? Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Jimmy G?
Well, I don't know. He's played a Super Bowl, so it's debatable.
Okay. Who'd you have below him then?
I mean, it's fair. I guess he and Tannehill are down at the bottom.
Exactly.
I guess when you get down
that's
to it.
That's the point, and that's what they had today. They had Tannehill 7 and Garoppolo 8, and that's what we said yesterday. Garoppolo's 8 and Tannehill 7, which sparred this conversation where this is where I think Derek nailed it. He said the reason that they're not getting the love is because of Tannehill. Because they don't have the sexy quarterback. If they had the sexy quarterback, everybody would be talking about the Titans, but they don't have the sexy quarterback.
To me, that's a very shallow view of what the Titans are and what Tannehill is. If you watch the season, which I think a lot of the people nationally, they watch pieces of teams. They don't watch a lot of full games, especially of the Titans. They probably watch a lot more full games of the Buccaneers or the Chiefs or some of the teams that are on in the national spotlight more often than the Titans. You didn't see Tannehill, because it didn't happen very often, in games where he had his offensive line and he had his full complements of receivers and Derrick Henry. Last year, when they had all of that for a higher percentage of the time, his numbers were way, way better. And we were talking more about Ryan Tannehill as a top-tier quarterback. I think what we've seen is he may not be a top-tier quarterback, but you give him the pieces around him to be successful, and I think he's in a position to win a Super Bowl, I feel. Now, he's got to do it, right? There's no excuses now. He's got his offensive line. He's got his full complement of receivers, and fingers crossed, he's going to have some version of Derrick Henry here. I think the rest is up to him. But I think it's easy to look at afar and say, ah, Tannehill didn't have a good year. Look at all the interceptions, all that stuff. But that doesn't take into account some of the things he had to deal with pass protection and lack of weapons.
So as opposed to all the other quarterbacks that had everybody? I mean, that's the point. The point is,
look, I'm not worried about what everybody else has. I'm talking about the Titans.
He's not
as
top
a
tier
number one seed.
You have to
They're
make
the number
excuses.
One seed.
Right, right. You make excuses for why he doesn't do well. Like, everything is an excuse, just like what you did with Mariota. It's that tells us he's not a top tier. Like, we know that. You don't say that about the other quarterbacks.
I'm saying he's a top tier quarterback. I'm saying you can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. That is my point. They are the number one seed. And I think they're being undersold. That's the theme of what I'm bringing to the table. I'm not here to tell you about.
Have I said that they can't? I said I'm trying to tell you why people don't talk about him, because they don't have the sense of quarterback.
I think they're making a mistake.
Well, what are they making a mistake about? That just it just goes to show you. That's why I did the exercise. The top tier quarterbacks all have their teams in this position for a reason.
And that's great. So that's very shallow analysis.
That's why we talk about quarterbacks so much.
Yeah. The quarterback's a big part of it. He's got to get it done. Now is the time.
But Joe Burrow got sacked more than anybody in the league.
He's in a position.
But he was still, I mean, you could say, well, his offensive line is awful. How did he have success? Because he's not just a middle-of-the-road quarterback. That's the difference. We don't have to make excuses for him. He didn't have Joe Mixon for a lot of the season. Joe Mixon was hurt like he always is. They have guys get hurt. Everybody's got players. Matthew Stafford threw 41 touchdowns this year, and Robert Woods went down. Robert Woods is kind of important. He went down for the season, past the midway point of the regular season. That's kind of an important piece to him. He lost him for the season. He had no running game until they traded for Sony Michel. Sony Michel didn't light it up, but their top running back went down for the season, the whole year. Oh, by the way, he's back in the mix. We didn't make excuses for Stafford. Stafford threw 41 touchdowns. And I don't think Stafford, quite honestly,
I'd take Tannehill over Stafford.
I was going to say, I don't think he's not elite. He's in the category of very good. He's not
I'll
elite.
I'll take Tannehill over Stafford, sure.
I'm not doing that, but I don't think Stafford's
You take
not
Stafford
in.
Over Tannehill?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You might find out in the Super Bowl. But the Rams have a tough road. They had to win their game on Monday. Now they've got to beat the Bucs, and then they may have to beat the Packers. That's a really tough road, but they might be talented enough to do it.
Well, I think they're in the position like the Titans. They're actually getting healthier, you know, at the right time of year. They're actually
getting right
in January like the Titans. Meanwhile, the Bucs are having players drop left and right, right? Like the Bucs don't underestimate like how important it is. If they don't have those two offensive linemen, that is going to affect them.
Oh, yeah.
Greatly.
Well, if you watch that game, and it was an easy one to flip off if you are not a fan of the Eagles or the Bucs, or I can even see an Eagles fan maybe turning away for a while. But the Eagles were all over Tom Brady. Once those linemen got hurt, they couldn't protect Tom Brady. They were in the backfield constantly. So that could be a big problem for Tampa. It very well could.
Yeah, I think it's going to – and by the way, the 49ers are starting to have really, really key injuries. I mean, those are some really important guys on defense that right now they're in question.
That's going to hurt them. That's going to hurt them.
Right, Warner and Bosa, this just in. Those guys are great players.
Huge. Huge.
I don't know what their status is.
They had both of those guys? Well, if they – I don't know if they've been ruled out. It looked pretty bad. You know, they got a concussion for one. The concussion protocol, we know it's hard to know what you're going to get day in, day out, you know, how people are going to react there. And then I guess it was a bad ankle injury to the other guy. The 49ers could have been a really dangerous team going up to Green Bay. I think they match up fairly well, but I got to know about those two guys.
Well, don't forget Garoppolo is hurt. He's got the thumb injury that he sustained here on Thursday night. Now he's got a shoulder injury. In fact, he was asked about it yesterday, which one hurts more, and he just smiled and said, both. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, they've got injuries they're dealing with. They're not 100%. So it is interesting. I feel like the two teams that are actually doing the opposite of what the model tells you happens in the NFL, the later in the season you go, you know, it's just the war of attrition. It's like who can have the most bodies standing. I actually feel like they're going the other way. They're getting, as time goes on, they're getting players back, right? Where
yeah,
most teams are losing players.
That's why I don't understand. That's it comes back to my original point. I mean, I do understand because all these things you're saying from the outside perception are very true. The perception is different. To me, though, it's crazy how much lower the Titans' odds of getting to the Super Bowl are than the Chiefs, the Bills, who play each other. You know, one of them's gone. They both have better odds than the Titans, who are the number one seed. All they have to do is beat the Bengals and then one of those teams. But they're undersold, I think, plus all the other NFC teams. You know, the Rams, I think, are a great team, but this is murderer's row they got to go through, probably, to get to the Super Bowl. And you've got all these injury issues we're talking about. The Titans are sitting there. They're starting off in the best position possible. The number one thing is Henry. We don't know what you're going to get from him, but they have him. They would have begged for this scenario on November 1st after he got hurt. All that they were facing, you know, I wasn't sure that they could make the playoffs. And we certainly weren't sure if he was going to come back. Now they've got the bye. They're going to get him back. You take this all day. Not to mention Julio Jones looks like he's as healthy as he's been all year, knock on wood. And he's anything you get from him is gravy now. But I think you have a chance here. A.J. Brown is as healthy as he's been all year. Your offensive line. Bud Dupree, the secondary, you just pick it. All of these areas, they've gone through all kinds of problems, but they've got them. But I don't hear a whole lot of people saying that nationally at all.
Because people gravitate to the
quarterback.
They
don't get it.
They gravitate to the quarterback. And the Titans
well, and also
don't have
they're
that sexy quarterback like the Chiefs and the Bills. That's your answer. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't mean
they
that those teams are going to win. It just means that
they watch them very closely.
It's fine. Well, I mean, let me ask you something. Do you think the goalie is important in hockey? Do you think that number one pitcher is important in baseball? Do you judge teams sometimes by their rotation? Do you judge a hockey team sometimes by who's in net? The answer is yes. That's the equivalent of the quarterback in the NFL. It's the same thing. So why would you treat it different? Why would you judge a baseball team off their rotation, but yet you don't value well? But in football, I'm not going to value the quarterback the same. Like you got to do a deeper dive. Why? You don't do a deeper dive in other sports. Sometimes it comes down to the hotter goaltender. You're going to take the team with the hotter goaltender because they can sometimes dictate a series, right? We know that. And look, there may be people may start switching if UC Saros. I know they're going through this patch right now, but if he gets on fire and he stays up his stats where they've been most of the season, people will pick them simply for UC Saros because they'll trust him over, you know, somebody else. I mean, Colorado, that is going to be their one weakness. And by the way, you get graded pretty tough on that. They're a pretty dynamic team, but they don't have that dynamic goaltender. That kind of matters. It's the same thing with the quarterback. I mean, it's really no different. That's why these teams get talked about because they have, and that was Derek's point. He's like, if Russell Wilson was here, he's like, we would get, you know, this market would get sick of how much the national media would talk about the Titans. And I agree with him. If they had that, you know, just pick the sexy top tier quarterback, the Titans would get all the love they could handle. But that's simply why they do this. This is why they don't. Because they don't have that, they gravitate to the elite quarterback. And look, it's hard to argue because I just gave you the examples. The elite quarterbacks are all in this position for a reason. The two examples are the Titans and the 49ers don't have the top-tier elite quarterback. Everybody else has the top-tier elite quarterback. I don't think it's a coincidence. There's a reason those teams are there. We'll come back. Second hour on the other side as you listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.